Well, we want to welcome everyone to Murrayville Baptist Church. If you're glad to be here, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good to see all of you. I'm happy to see every one of you here. You ought to see the crowd I had last Sunday. I had one. Amen. This is a big crowd to me this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. We do want to open this service in prayer. How we need the Lord to move among us in that special way of God. I need him to do something in me. I know you need him to do something in you. That's why you're here. So Brother Clay Haynes is going to come and open us in prayer.
Lord, as we come to you this morning, we just want to say thank you for everything that you do for us, Lord, all the blessings that you continue to give us. Lord, I just ask that you be with all those who can't be here today for different circumstances. Lord, we know that this COVID has got a hold of some of our church members. And Lord, I just ask that you be with those people. Lord, comfort them. Lord, comfort their families. Lord, I ask that you be with this service today. Lord, give Brother John the message that we need to hear. Lord, use him as a mouthpiece. Lord, just ask that you just be with this service, move in this service. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Main standing, we're just going to do a few congregation today. Page 285. I want to thank church for your prayers for Bobby. She's doing real good today, and she's over this COVID, I believe, and so y'all just continue to pray for us. Thank you for your prayers.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of the past to my soul. The lily of the valley.
City, page 346.
Time. Oh.
295. Been a while since we've done this one. Last night, this song just kept coming to my mind. Felt like we need to do it today. I've been traveling for Jesus so much of my life. I've been traveling on land and on sea, but I'm counting on taking a trip to the sky. That will be the last trip for me.
Thank you.
sky. I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the prints of the nails in his hand. Through the gates to the city, in the robe of spotless white, he will lead me when it is delivered for. In the glance of the ages I shall mingle in delight, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the prints of the nails in his hand.
Let's do one more. Let's all stand again. Page 279.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson floor. In the echoes rings my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on through him I must win. Oh, Lord, to see him look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. Oh, the streets of glory, lift my voice, here's a past, home at last, heaven to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan stands, they make my soul turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads for every time. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, days will pass, home and bless, heaven to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, to safely keep, and he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, then see forever of his saving grace. Oh, the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, here's a past,
let me say this while we're still standing this morning. I want to do a special altar call this morning among all of us. We need to continue remembering Kim and Nathan Dinsmore, that God would be with them. We're thankful that Navarre and Bobby are both better. And there's some friends of ours, Janice Walden, that is not doing well at all with the COVID. We need to pray for her. Bobby's sister and brother-in-law, we need to really remember them in prayer. And Dana's mother, I understand, is still in the hospital about a month. that she's been in the hospital battling this. And I just feel compelled that we need to really get together and pray in concert this morning on behalf of all of these. It's got this horrible thing that's sweeping through, and just feel like we need to pray. So I'm going to ask him to play something and let's come and spend some time in prayer at the altars this morning, especially for these that are battling this COVID right now. Y'all come. Thank you, sis. I'm so glad we got one that has. He's already done it and can do it again. We'll do it again. Amen. Amen. Might be someone who needs to stand up and testify this morning. Get a little, yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Has anybody ever been to a point in your life where you just know that you cannot make one more step? Thank God for the strength from another world. And he's proven to that time and time and time again in all of our lives that he is there for us. He said he'd give strength to the faint. And to them who are young, even the young people, even you young people have been through it. You know God is there for you. Amen. Anybody else this morning need to say anything? All right, Luke 24 and Acts chapter number 1. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 and Acts chapter number 1. When you find those two places, if you'll stand to honor the reading of God's word. I met somebody this week, and they said, "Oh, I've heard about you." I thought, "Oh, God, no, that can't be a good thing." Somebody hear about me, they ain't heard about much. But they hear about Jesus, they heard about it all. Amen? Amen. I need y'all to just say amen, every one of you in here, one good time. Say it right. Amen. Amen. See, that helps you. That makes you feel better in life. Amen. Luke chapter 24. I want to read just a few verses of the closing chapter of this account according to Luke. Remember, Luke's a physician, and he was Paul's personal physician in his ministry. But look what it says in Luke chapter 24 in verse number 49. It records it for us like this. It says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and we're continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen." Now look at the same account in Acts chapter number 1. And we'll begin there in verse number, in Acts chapter number 1, we'll begin there in verse number, we'll look at verse number 8. He said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye've seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey." Well, let's read on. Verse number 13, "And when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James, John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And by the way, verse 14 is the very last time that Mary is mentioned in your Bible. The very last time she appears in your Bible. And it's amazing that the Catholic Church can build a whole doctrine on Mary, and she goes no further than the book of Acts. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Well, anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll bring you my thought for the morning. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for loving us and being so good to us, Father. Now, Lord, you please bless your people as we stand to preach the Word of God. I pray that you would anoint me in a special way this morning, and Lord, just let it be real. Lord, let this thought, this message be real in all of our hearts, and help us, Lord, to be able just to go on and face what the days that will be ahead. We love you and thank you now in Jesus Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I love the book of Acts. It's a book of action. That's why it's called the Acts of the Apostles. And I love it. It is just so interesting to study the various things that happened. But in our text this morning, there's a lot that's going on in this portion of Scripture. Jesus Christ's work at Calvary has been finished. In our portion of this chapter, Jesus is making his final walk and his final conference meeting with his disciples. There are only 11 men now of his disciples left. Judas has gone out and hanged himself. And as the Bible states it, Jesus has finished his work at Calvary. In the book of 1 John, it says that he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. What Jesus did at Calvary was for the benefit of every individual, every whosoever that's ever been born. Jesus paid the price for everybody. And then it goes on to say that not only has his work at Calvary been finished, his work at the grave has now been finished. Jesus has finished his work at the grave, and it's the most glorious and triumphant work that Jesus ever committed. He went into that grave, but on the third day he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he got up out of the grave, and he is alive this very day because he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he made it possible for anyone that'll believe in him to also be a conqueror over death, hell, and the grave. I thought about I'd get up, and I've not said anything about the shot. And I thought, well, I'm gonna get up and make a statement about the shot. And here's my statement. If you've taken that shot, you're going to die. And if you haven't taken that shot, you're going to die. Let's go ahead and clear all of that up right there. Whether you've taken or not, you're going to die. We're all going to die. But aren't you glad that Jesus Christ has given us victory over death, hell, and the grave? Amen. He's finished his work at the grave, but now he's finishing his post-resurrection work. For 40 days, he's appeared with all of his disciples. He's appeared to just individuals. He's appeared to groups of people at one time. He appeared to over 500 people at one time. And now he's ready to go home. He's ready to go back to his Father. He's ready to go to heaven. And can you imagine what it was like when Jesus got home? I was reading this text one day, and actually the Lord has given me a couple of thoughts. I may preach the other thought that I had from it maybe next Sunday. But can you imagine what it was like when Jesus made it home? And that's what I'm preaching on this morning, on when Jesus got home. And thank God he did get home. He told his disciples, he said, it is expedient for you that I go away. He said, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send him to you. that he may be with you forever. And thank God the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is with us today. Aren't you glad in these hours in which we live in, we have somebody in us to go through it with us and to see us through and to give us some means of comfort as we face what we're facing today? Jesus Christ is now going home. It is told his disciples many times about him leaving them and him going home to his Father. And I want to preach just for a little while about when Jesus got home. When I was in India, I'd been over there for 2 weeks and I was going to eat my last meal with them. And while I was eating that last meal, I can still remember it today. We had Indian okra. If you've never had Indian okra, you need to try some Indian okra, the way they cook it. It is fabulous. I had some potatoes and goat meat. And man, I mean, it was a wonderful meal. But what made that meal so wonderful was the fact that that was my last meal. And then I was going home. And I read one day where Jesus sat with his disciples. And he said it in such an interesting and intriguing way. He said, with desire, I have desired to eat this meal with you. And I always wondered, I said, Lord, why was it that Jesus emphasized it the way he did to those men that day, that he would desire, he had desired to eat that particular meal with his men? Well, I believe it was this. He knew after that meal that he was going home. Man, I'm telling you what, I'd only been away for 2 weeks. And when I ate that meal, I was so excited. I mean, I was enjoying every mouthful, but I knew that I was about to get on a plane and get back to my family who I had dearly missed. And I want to preach just for a little while and try to develop this thought in all of our hearts about some things that happened when Jesus got home. I want to say, number one, when Jesus got home, he rejoined his Father. He had said a lot about his Father when he was here on earth. There's no doubt about it. He loved his Father. I want you to listen to some of the things that Jesus said about his Heavenly Father while he was on earth. He said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. He said, no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. Listen to him, Matthew 12, verse 50. He said, for whosoever will do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. Then in Matthew 18:10, Jesus said these words, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. He said in Matthew 24, verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Then in Luke 2, 49, he said, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Man, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ loved his Father. But can you imagine being away from that Father for 33 and a half years? Well, really, more than that, counting the time that he was in the womb. I remember a song that Michael Combs wrote several years back. A great songwriter Michael Combs is. But he wrote a song entitled, I'll Be Back. And he develops an interesting thought in the opening lyrics of that song. And he says this. He said, one day up in heaven, the Savior said goodbye. As he started on his journey, the holy angels bowed their heads and cried. He turned to face his Father, and this they heard him say, mankind owes a debt below that only I can pay, but I'll be back. I'll be back. I'll be gone for a little while, but one day I'm coming back. And I thought about that. Can you imagine what it was like the day that Jesus Christ left heaven to come to our world? I mean, he walked on streets of gold. The angels worshiped and adored him. The cherubim cried, "Holy, holy, holy." And now he's leaving all of that. But the one thing I believe that Jesus left that day that broke his heart was his Father. And he had to say goodbye up in heaven. And he left heaven and he came to our earth. For 33 and a half years, he was despised and rejected. He was mocked. He was spit upon. They bruised him. They wounded him. They nailed him to a cross. I got to thinking about this. I heard somebody say one time that they're so earthly good, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. There was one man that I know of that ever really did that, and that was Jesus Christ. And they crucified him. This world crucified the one who had heaven on his mind. But while he was down here, he was separated from his Father physically. And can you imagine what it was like? That day that he went home, that day that he got back to his Father, I don't believe it was just a casual entrance into heaven. I don't believe he just walked in there and maybe kind of yawned and sat down on the right hand of the throne of glory. I bet there was a reunion that day between the Father and the Son. I believe that they embraced one another. I believe that there was a glad time going on in heaven because the Father and the Son were finally back together. And as I think about that, can you imagine what it's going to be like when you get home and you're rejoined with those who have gone on before you, those loved ones that departed, that you, it broke your heart to see them go, to see them leave. And then one day, finally, you step in heaven and there they are and you're rejoined one with another. What a glad time that's going to be up in heaven. I believe Jesus, when he got home, he was just showing us what a great time heaven is really going to be like. It's not going to be just a folding of hands and everybody just looking at it. No, we're going to say, if you don't like shouting, don't come to heaven. There's going to be some rejoicing. There's going to be some rejoining of loved ones. And thank God there is emotions in heaven. Amen. I've got a little brother that died a year before I was born. And they were going to name him Timothy Lawton Dale after my daddy. He was going to be a junior. But then he died at birth. I believe this according to the Word of God. I believe he's in heaven. I believe God's had him in safekeeping all these years up there in glory. I believe that about every little child that's ever passed through the womb, no matter what kind of way passed through, I believe that they're in heaven right now. Glory to God. There's some of you in this room that had a little child that didn't make it through and that died in some fashion or other way. I want to tell you that up in heaven, that little child is in safekeeping up there. I've got friends that have lost little children through childbirth and things like that. And I believe that with all of my heart that God takes them immediately into the presence of Almighty God. And they're in heaven right now. And you know what I believe? I believe when I get to heaven, I don't believe anybody have to say, "Now I want to introduce you to your brother." I believe I'll know him. I believe I'll know him just as I'm known down here. I believe I'll know him over there. And boy, you talking about it, I always did want a big brother. I always wanted a brother of some kind, little brother, big brother, whatever. But I never had one. All I had was a snotty-nosed sister, if you're watching this, sis. And I love my sister. We get along so good in this now and so thankful what God's put in our hearts towards each other. And I want to say this, when we get home and we finally get back to those we have lost down here Oh, it's going to be a glad time in heaven when you get to put your arms around them again and embrace them one more time. Oh, thank God. When Jesus got home, number one, he rejoined his Father. But I want to say, secondly, not only did he rejoin his Father, he reconciled his foes. Do you realize that before we got saved, we were all the enemies of God? Every one of us. The Bible clearly tells us that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were all enemies with God. God was mad. Matter of fact, God was mad at his creation. You read the Old Testament and you discover this, that the world had made God angry. And he said that God is angry with the wicked every day. The very last word of the Old Testament is curse. Curse. And you know what? I got to thinking about this. If you had to go and stand in front of that angry God, how would you make reconciliation for yourself? How would you do it by yourself? Number one, how would you find that God? If you were to leave this earth right now and go in a search to find God, to try to make reconciliation with him, where would you go? Which direction would you go in? We know he's in heaven somewhere. What direction would you go in? How would you get there? How would you be able to get into the presence of Almighty God? And then when you stood there in front of this God that's angry with the wicked every day, how are you going to appease him? What are you going to tell him? What are you going to offer him? What could you carry from heaven, from earth up to heaven and make reconciliation for yourself? There's not one thing that any of us could do to be able to appease a wrathful God and make peace between us and him. That's why Jesus Christ came into this world. He came to reconcile the enemies of God with God Almighty. He took hold of a holy hand of God and a sinful hand of man. And Jesus Christ brought them together through the blood of his cross. It's because of what Jesus did at Calvary that we're able to sit here this morning, saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. When he got to heaven, he put his blood on that mercy seat, and God said, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied forever and ever and ever. And Jesus Christ reconciled his foes. Thank God for that. I was an enemy of God. I'd sinned against God and sinned against him so much so. We've talked about a little bit this morning in the front office, some foolish things that I'd done. I'm so glad they're all under the blood. I'm so glad that he's forgiven me of my foolishness. He's forgiven me of all my sins, and he's made peace between God and me. Now, God is my Father. The same Father of Jesus Christ is my Father. He's your Father. The same one that Jesus went back to is your Father this morning. And it's all because of what Jesus did when he got home. He reconciled his foes. Have you ever noticed that everything just seemed out of order in this world? I mean, we've got a pandemic that is out of control. And I've read articles where there's two more viruses headed our way that mutates twice as fast as what we've seen now. And they are vaccine resistant, meaning that the vaccines we got now will not touch these viruses. And they say that they're coming out of Africa. They're coming out of other countries. And they're coming rapidly our way. And it just seems like things are happening and there's nothing that man can do to control it. A pandemic is out of control. There are two more strains that have been detected now. Fires out west destroying thousands of acres and homes, with hurricanes threatening and totally destroying the southern shores, and floods in New York wiping out anything that stands in its path. And there's not one thing that man can do about it. You know what's wrong? Man has sinned against God. And God is trying to show us that he's mad, that he's angry, and his judgment is upon this world. You cannot deny this fact that the things that are happening that just have no explanation. Or they can say, well, we're wearing out the ozone layer all they want to. But I believe there's a God in heaven that we have offended, and man is too naive to understand, and they're too small-minded to understand this, that we have sinned against God. We need to repent and get right with God. Repentance would solve a lot of our problems down here. Man, when Adam sinned against God in the garden, as Tim Mitchell said, he pulled a number on us. I mean, this world is up under a curse. This is not heaven. Me and old Jeff Haynes was talking the other day on the phone. We was talking about a lot of different things that's going on, and I made this statement. I said, Brother Jeff, this ain't heaven. He said, you said that right. And will you agree with me? This is not heaven. But thank God we've got a God in heaven that is at peace with us now through Jesus Christ because of what Jesus has done for us. Thank God this morning that Jesus sat down on the right hand of the throne of God and that he made reconciliation for his foes. But then I will say thirdly, when Jesus got home, he represented his followers. I've got somebody up in heaven representing me right now. Here a little while back, there was a certain bill that was going to go before Congress. And it was a very bad bill. And I didn't want our representatives to vote for it. So I emailed Warnock and Ossoff. And I emailed both of them individually, and I sent them an email and told them why I was against the passage of this bill. They never did respond to me till after the bill and several months later had gone by. And then they told me both, and both of them individually emailed me back, and they told me why they voted for that legislation. And then they said this, "We will always faithfully represent you." I said, they're liars. They're liars. They're liars. They're not representing me. They're not representing me, but I've got one in heaven that represents me right every time. And thank God, Jesus Christ is our representative up in heaven, and he will always represent us right. Can I get an amen right there? If you were on trial, if your life was on trial, and you had to go before a judge, you would walk in there with your lawyer. You would sit down with your lawyer, and then everybody would be seated, and then the judge would walk in. That judge would walk in, and then the bailiff would say, "All rise," and everybody in there would have to stand. And you would be standing, your lawyer would be standing right next to you, and they would present the charges. And then they would say, "You may be seated." And then once the judge was seated, then everybody there would be seated. Did you know that would be the last time you stood up? You know who would stand up for you from there on out? Your lawyer. Your lawyer would be the one who would stand up for you. He would stand up to examine the ones on the witness stand. He would stand up to question this one and question that one. He would be your representative. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is representing you in heaven? Hey, there's a lot that I've done wrong. There's a lot that I do wrong. And thank God I've got a representative up in heaven that when the old accuser goes by the throne, that stands up for me, and he says, he's under the blood. He's my child. He's mine. He's mine. There's nothing you can do to him. Thank God I have a representative up in heaven. Do you know the Bible tells us that the devil's a Baptist? It does. It says that he's the accuser of the brethren daily. So he must be a Baptist. I mean, have you ever had anybody accuse you of anything? You ever had anybody say anything about you that was true or wrong? Well, brethren, we've got a representative up in heaven that is always representing us in truth. And he'll always stand up for you because Your sins are under the blood, His blood that He shed for you. And thank God we have a representative in heaven. Then I want to say lastly, not only did Jesus rejoin His Father, not only did He reconcile His foes and represent His followers, but then He reserved our future home. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. One day Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back for you and for me that have been saved. And He's going to take us to a place that is far better than anything we've experienced down here. Thank God for a place called heaven. I remember one time when I was in college, me and some of my college buddies decided we were going to take a road trip. And so we decided we were in Valdosta and we were going to go to Cairo. And when we got to Cairo, when we got to the interstate, instead of going left, we took a right on the interstate. And next thing we knew, we was up in Tennessee. And there we were in Tennessee, and we didn't know what we were doing there. We were just taking a road trip. And we had planned to go see one of our old ex-college buddies over in Cairo. But we wound up in Tennessee, and then we came down, and we wound up in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And when we pulled into Gatlinburg, all these memories started flooding back on me. It had been years since I'd been to Gatlinburg. When I was a little boy, my dad and all his brothers would always take their Dell vacation up to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and we would stay in Jack Huff's number 2. My uncle would rent the entire motel, and all the Dells would stay there in Jack Huff's number 2 in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And me as a little boy, I mean, we'd just come through Cherokee, and I had all the Indian garb. I was an Indian. I mean, I had the headdress. I had the hatchet. I had everything, the bow and arrow. I mean, I looked like little Zach with my bow and arrow. Amen. And we would spend 2 weeks there in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Well, here, me and my buddies, we wound up in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And we didn't have anywhere to stay. And it was at the height of vacation time when we were there. And we thought, well, what are we going to do? We stopped at a couple of places, and nobody had any openings, no empty rooms. We said, well, what are we going to do? It was getting close to nighttime. I said, I remember a motel we used to stay at. And I said, turn down this street. And so we turned down that street, and sure enough, there was Jack Huff's number 2. I said, pull in there. I'm going to go see something. So they pulled up to the front, and I got out of the car, and I went inside. And I said, you got any rooms? They said, not a one. I said, is Jack Huff around? And they said, well, matter of fact, he is. He's in the back. Let me go get him. And they went back there, and Jack Huff, the old man Jack Huff, came out. And I said, Jack, I said, me and my buddies have been traveling for a long time. It's been a long day, and we just need a room for one night. I said, do you remember Lawton Dell? He said, I sure do. I said, well, I'm his son. And I said, I sure would appreciate if you could do anything for us. He said, well, you know, I got one room on the backside. And he said, because you're Lawton Dell's son, I'm going to let y'all stay in that room tonight. He said, I don't normally let people do that. He said, but I'm going, because you're Lawton Dell's son. And I got to thinking about that. A son went in there, and he honored that son that made a reservation for them other boys sitting out in the car. And I got to thinking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went up there and reserved a place for you in heaven. And when you get to heaven, you're not going to be out of place. You're going to be in the right place. There's a place made up there just for you. And it's going to suit you to a T. I believe everything that you've ever wanted, everything that you've ever dreamed of having in a home is going to be in that home. Well, don't get excited. I mean, don't get too carried away. I mean, you're just going to move into a mansion. Amen. I mean, a place that the Bible says it like this, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. Can you imagine your feet walking on gold? Oh, my word. Can you imagine walking in a place that never needs painting? that never needs redecorating, that your wife never moves the furniture around, and you walk through at midnight and bump your toes and all that. Can you imagine living in a place that is completely paid for? I mean, come on now. I mean, think about it. Heaven. We're going to move there, and Jesus Christ has reserved a place for you up there in heaven. Oh, when Jesus made it home, he did a lot on our behalf. And he did something for us that nobody else could do. He's prepared that place just for you. As we stand this morning across auditorium, Sister Megan, you come just play something for us. You know what Jesus is waiting on? Jesus is waiting on his Father to tell him, go get him. When he hears those words, I believe he's going to descend from heaven with a shout. And the voice of the archangel and trumpet, even Jesus Christ himself is going to shout that day. You know why? Because he's finally going to marry his bride. When me and Debbie got married, both of us was lost back in them days. Don't hold nothing against us, please. Got married in 1976. Have I ever told y'all about when I first met her? Yeah, I have. Met her, and I told my mama that day, I said, I'm going to marry that gal. Took me a long time to convince her that she loved me. I'm still trying to convince her most of the time. And we tried to figure it out that I believe we saw each other 2 years before she finally realized just how much she loved me, enough to marry me. But boy, we got married that day, and it was a big deal. Me and Debbie had saved up our money and paid for this and paid for that, and we finally got married. And the day we got married, we said, I do, and the preacher said, you may now kiss your bride. And he presented us, and we started down that aisle. I shouted. I did. You can ask her. I shouted. I said, woo! I was so glad to have my bride. Boy, I'm going to tell you what. One day, Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven with a shout. Some of you ain't shouted in so long. You might shout at a ball game. You need to learn how to shout in church. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. We got something to shout about. Jesus has done so much for us. When we get over there, we're going to shout and praise Jesus Christ forever and a day. And he's going to be worthy of every shout, every smile, every tear. And thank God, when you walk into that place and you realize it's yours forever, forever, forever. I'm going to be here forever. And it'll be just right. Clay, just right. Just right. Going to be a river out there flowing, Brother Dale. We can go fish, and they don't have any kind of parasites. Oh, yeah, I believe we got a water of life running out there. I mean, there'll be glorified trout, glorified bass. Man, I'm telling you, when we get there, I'm going to see some of y'all have your first spell. Some of y'all going to have a spell. Like never. Then when you see those that you planted on and you rejoin them, oh, what a time that's going to be. Remember this as you go about your day to day, all that Jesus has done. When he got home, he made it home and reserved that place for all of us. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Terry Ransom to dismiss us in a word of prayer.